The following episode of How Did This Get Made is sponsored by LegalZoom. They're helping keep the show free. If you go to LegalZoom.com and enter the code EARWOLF, you'll get a discount and 100% of what you spend there comes directly back to the show. LegalZoom is the best place to help with your legal needs. They're not a law firm, but they provide self-help services at your direction. For more information on how to support this show and the rest of the EARWOLF podcast network, go to EARWOLF.com/insider.
Aliens attack an upscale condo complex in Los Angeles. We saw Skyline, and you know what that means?
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, welcome to How Did This Get Made, the podcast where we try to make sense of the movies that make no sense. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, June Diane Raphael, and via Skype, Jason Manzoukas. How are you both?
Good, how are you, Paul?
Terrific.
Today we have a special guest. You may recognize him from the podcast, Jordan Jesse Go. Please welcome Jordan Morris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, and thanks for playing the theme song live. It got me... A lot of podcasts just drop it in after.
No.
Flowing?
Yes. We do it real. We have a full band in here at all times.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Take five.
They walk out. They're really good.
Newfound glory, everybody.
We waste a tremendous amount of money bringing them in to do the theme song.
So worth it.
No,
it's
you like it. It brings a quality to the podcast that is, it's, you can't monetize
they,
that. You
they're
know?
Like the Steely Dan of podcast musicians. They only do it in the studio and they sound great. You'll never see them live. So Skyline.
Yes.
This movie basically answers the question, what would happen if a young Will Smith had to save his friends, right, from an alien attack? I guess. I mean, so basically, some dudes go to hang out with their rich, famous friend. And I didn't know Donald Faison plays this, like, famous guy.
Yeah, Donald Faison, the buddy from Scrubs.
Yes.
Turk from Scrubs,
excuse
guys.
Me. I'm sorry, I just called him the buddy. That's reductive.
And is he, I mean, and he is in, he definitely is in showbiz. And I say showbiz with quotes around it because all he's is like, wait, the robot fight scene's done? And he says things I love showbiz. He literally says, I love showbiz. He says, showbiz, baby.
Sure, yes.
He's a video effect guy.
Is that what he is? Because I couldn't get to the bottom. Okay.
Oh, I thought he wanted to get the other guy to be a video effects guy with
him. In his movies, that's what I thought. That he was a director and he wanted a video, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought
I thought they were a video. I thought they, Turk and the douche who gets killed first, were video effects guys and modeled after, I'm sure, the brothers, whoever, who made the movie.
I thought that Donald Faison was like Will Smith, and he was like, you need to come on my visual effects team because I do all these great big alien movies, and I need, like, almost like, you need to work for me.
No, yeah, it's funny. No, I actually listened to, there's a great radio show on KCRW here in LA called The Business, and they had a fun episode about the story of this movie, and it is made by two disgruntled special effects artists who were sick of the Hollywood machine, so they made this movie themselves, that is their apartment that they live in.
Whoa.
And so, them being special effects artists in the movie is probably just like,
but that's so crazy.
Wish fulfillment.
I really thought, because they go visit him, it's like, well, this guy's living the life.
He's the king of Hollywood.
Yeah, he's got like boats, he's sending limos. I thought he was a huge Hollywood star. I'm like, oh, he's like Omar Epps, or he's like a Will Smith. Well, you know what? It's funny you brought up the directors, because we have a clip of Donald Faison talking about the director's process here. Take a listen.
I know how much they really, really, really wanted this, and you could tell they really wanted it by how quickly they put the project together, too. So from, they wrote the script, and within, a month after the script was written, they were already ready to start filming.
Took them 1 month to write.
Donald Faison, having a movie hastily thrown together is not, I don't know, that's something to brag about. They did not think this out at all. No thought went into this. No rewrites.
We didn't need production, pre-production. We just started shooting it.
Yeah.
I made up most of my lines.
Also, Donald Faison married or dating someone who looks like she should be on The Real Housewives, right? I mean,
really?
Oh, that's Brittany Daniels?
Yeah. Jessica Wakefield from Sweet Valley High.
Oh my gosh. She looked a lot older than him.
My favorite line of hers was when they were trying to get out of the parking lot, and she was like trying to open the gate, and she goes, "Open up, you piece of shit!" Screams at the gate.
Yeah,
open up, you piece of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, they're trying to drive into the parking structure. There's aliens behind them, and there's this kind of comically slow gate opening.
I just loved her calling the gate a piece of shit.
I could have watched them just try and get out of the parking garage for an entire
moment. Oh, man. They were halfway out. They got back in. They tried to get out again.
My favorite part is they're like, aliens are attacking. Yes, we're safe in our apartment, but let's go downstairs, get in cars, and try and drive to the boat.
Yeah.
Doug Faison's first move is, you know what I'm going to do? Me and this girl are going to get in a convertible Porsche. Because what's better than being full-blown exposed to aliens that are sucking everybody out?
And the whole plan, the whole premise of the movie, obviously, aliens are attacking Los Angeles. They're trapped in a condo facility. And their big plan is to get out on the water where there is no cover. Nothing. Yeah. That's not a safe haven.
Open water.
Yeah, open water
Wait,
is
deadlier.
Did you
get to the bottom of why the condo structure was only half occupied? Like, why weren't there any people there?
Well, that's just about the real estate. I mean, this movie has a lot.
Yeah, that's
of,
so. I think that's so they didn't have to
of,
cast
like,
extra.
Okay, so that's just about.
I think
numbers.
There's just a lot of convenience stuff going on in this movie, and just they have.
There was only one other person, an elderly man and a dog, and the couple from downstairs. From the parking lot.
And the building manager is like, hey, you gotta keep it down.
Yeah. You know, and there is something, you know, this is almost like a charming kind of Evil Dead type movie, like it's self-financed, but this is something like that should be on Sci-Fi Network after Crocozilla versus Gatorosaurus. Like this, but they just marketed it as this big blockbuster, so it seems so stupid. Like,
there's some controversy with this movie where these guys were hired to do all of the special effects for Battle LA.
Yes,
and
they stole
are in a lawsuit right now because their people are saying that they took the money from the Battle LA stuff and created their own Battle LA movie and released it before Battle LA.
The brothers Strauss.
Yes, directors of Alien versus Predator, Requiem.
This movie, it felt to me at points, it could be like a one-act play that someone put on in college. It was like,
oh, God.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It all takes place in one location.
Except with worse acting.
Okay, let's even go back to the beginning where basically this guy is coming in from out of town to visit his best buddy who's made it in L.A.
Because it's his birthday.
It's his birthday. And
sure.
Terry's
flown him out there.
This guy is exponentially wealthy, but is living in a kind of okay condo complex. It's not great.
That's the thing. Everybody, like, there's the initial scene of, you know, of the good old boy from Brooklyn arriving in L.A. There's all this, like, look at this place. Whoa! Look at this awful art that's everywhere.
Wow, you finally made it. You have a communal pool that you share with the rest of the condo.
When they're riding up on the elevator and the elevator voice says penthouse. They both look at each other like, oh, brother.
A what house? Vending machines?
Don't they go like...
Didn't they know where they were headed on the elevator?
Yeah, then they go, here we go. Like, here we go.
Yeah, and it's like this like country mouse and city mouse, but like, right. And it's so funny, okay, I think we can agree that all the L.A. people in this are douchebags.
Yes.
And Eric Balfour, the guy from Brooklyn, is kind of supposed to be, like, kind of the good old boy from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Like, he has that save the cat moment at the top where he helps a lady with her luggage.
But that was the worst save the cat moment. It was basically, like, they're flying first class and a woman's having trouble with her bag and he helps her.
Yeah.
And the girl literally goes, you're a real hero. But, like, it's kind of like, you're a real good guy.
Yeah.
It's so, like, what, that's it? That's the moment?
Well, here's what didn't work about him for me. He's just a Brooklyn douchebag. He's wearing a V-neck with dog tags. He has an expensive camera that he fucking won't put away. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a guy who's into urban beekeeping and, like,
and he's
fucking
like,
his fixed-gear bike. I hate him, too.
He's also just, like, his hobby is, like, doing graffiti in his
notebook. Oh, yes! He has bad graffiti art! Oh, yeah. It's like, who's worse, this L.A. douchebag or this Brooklyn douchebag?
It was just a battle of, like, bad goatees. Everyone had a slightly bad goatee.
Yeah, awful facial
hair. I also love in L.A. that whenever they met Eric Balfour's wife, whenever any man man met her in front of her, they'd be like, whoa, brother, oh my god,
they turn into like a Tex Avery wolf when they see his modestly attractive, modestly dressed wife,
basically his wife
who is pregnant.
His wife on a good day looks like Fiona Apple. I mean, she's like, she's not like,
she's
very pretty.
We're all in agreement, she's fucking ugly. She's a gross, gross, she's a gross up.
It makes my penis shrivel.
Again, let's talk about this party that they go to, this LA party, where they hook a telescope up to a TV to watch people masturbating. Like,
masturbating.
Well, they think he's masturbating, don't they?
No, they think he's getting a blowjob.
Oh, okay. I thought the blowjob was the name. I thought it was a surprise.
It's two dudes, right?
Yes. I think the surprise
is that it's
they're watching a guy getting a blowjob, and then it, and then the blowjob giver comes up to reveal that it's a guy, and everybody just makes like the barf noises.
Like,
I'm like, great. Yeah. Oh, and the people we're supposed to be rooting for are now homophobic. Yay!
And
oh, I hate everyone.
They stay on that reaction shot for like 30 seconds.
Right. Oh, that's the big comedy.
Like
moment.
The agent is like falling over the couch, like, no.
And then they like that thing that's supposed to be gross, where it's like, the guy gives him a blowjob, and then they kiss, and it's like,
but we all agree that's disgusting.
Well, that's
true. Everything, their lifestyle and the kiss.
Let's all agree that any sex that's not penis to vagina is gross. We can all agree with that,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I also want to talk about like how blasé all these people are. They are so, like, in the beginning of the movie, the fucking building is rattling. Blinding blue light is going in. And the girl goes, oh, is that an earthquake? And they go, no, it's just a tremor. Like, they're so, like, unfazed. The building is rocking.
Yeah, right? And, yeah, and laser blue lights are streaming in. Like, no, it's not an earthquake,
At
asshole.
One point, she thinks it's morning.
Yeah.
Is it morning already?
No, Eric Balfour gets up as if it's morning. Yeah. He's like, well, I guess it's time to get up.
Yeah.
So these aliens start attacking, and I guess the way these aliens attack is you stare at their blue light, and then your face kind of gets all scaly.
Yeah, sure.
And then you get sucked up like a vacuum cleaner. It's like basically giant vacuum vaginas in the sky sucking you up. Because these aliens
actually sounds great.
Didn't they?
I wish the movie was more vacuum vaginas in midair.
It's very vaginal.
These aliens look like the worst part of every bad movie alien. It's like kind of the bad parts of all the Matrix aliens, the Cloverfield alien, and the Independence Day alien. It's just like these tentacles that kind of have this pulsating vagina mouth. But then they just, like, basically the coolest thing about this movie, I thought, was, like, it just sucks people up like a giant vacuum cleaner, like hundreds of people at a time.
Yeah,
it's like flying up into the thing.
I
thought that stuff was really interesting, actually. That imagery of everybody, you know, like flying into the spaceship, into the vagina in the sky.
Yes.
That I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, and I like the big, there's kind of a big King Kong type species of alien that's this big kind of lumbering gorilla. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't like that. I like the reaction though of Eric Balfour, the douchebag, Brooklyn douchebag. The minute he sees it, he's like, I gotta get my camera. I gotta take some shots of this. Like,
I was curious.
Donald Faison has to get his gun.
Oh yeah,
right. And they waste like all their bullets on shooting that door open.
Oh god.
But I was confused about why, when Donald Faison is cheating on his Brittany Daniels with that other girl, that like sleepy looking
assistant. Yeah.
Okay, his assistant.
Sure.
Did they set up a camera in the bathroom and take pictures?
How did they get those pictures?
How did they get those shots?
That's what I wrote down too. Yes. I don't understand who took those pictures.
It's a big reveal. Faison's girlfriend looks at the camera, which they have used to take alien pictures for some
reason. They're looking at all these amazingly beautiful shots of alien pictures.
Sure.
They're just scrolling through their pics.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like you do when you're bored.
Aliens are attacking. Everyone's dying.
And then she stumbles across pictures of Faison and his assistant, like, kissing. They're not even, like, they didn't, let's take pictures of us fucking. Let's take pictures of us tenderly kissing.
Well, that whole sequence is so messed up because, basically,
I feel like we missed something. I feel like something was cut out.
Something must have been cut out because, basically, Eric Balfour, is told, like, hey, buddy, you're going to move out to L.A. His girlfriend's like, no, you're not. She storms upstairs, and then he storms upstairs after her, and she's like, I'm pregnant. He's like, how long? And then all of a sudden, Donald Faison, who sent him to go after his girlfriend comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah, that was really weird.
After fucking his girl, there was
I thought you were a Hollywood type. All LA penthouses have secret backdoor escalators.
To the bathroom?
Yes, to the bathroom.
But somebody else must have been in that bathroom with them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who was taking those pictures
using
Eric Balfour's camera?
Yeah.
There was a, I mean,
maybe
if there
was... Maybe the gay blowjob guy.
And then basically because Donald Faison is cheating on his girlfriend, Eric Balfour's girlfriend's like, ugh. And she storms off on Eric Balfour. It's like, there's no rhyme or reason in that scene at all.
She's disgusted by this world.
Well, just from
meanwhile, half of the Earth's population is being sucked into Sky Gynas.
I also like that she's disgusted by the VFX world of Hollywood. The VFX! It's not even directors.
Managers. Well, here's the thing about that, too. It's like, okay, at the point where the cheating is revealed, and it's supposed to be true, there's a lot of dramatic looks. It's like, I've seen Donald Faison be a douchebag. I've seen her be bitchy to him.
Yes.
And now I'm supposed to care that their relationship is falling apart? I'm like, oh no, these two awful people are having problems in their relationship. Like, okay. Like, oh, yes, of course you are. You both fucking suck. Of course you have bad relationships.
The best moment to me was Donald Faison gets killed in the Porsche that was open. And,
spoiler alert.
Nah. And the girl, Eric Balfour's girlfriend, goes, we never even got to tell him we're pregnant. Like, wait, you fucking hate this guy. Like, you need to tell him that you were pregnant. And she goes this whole monologue about her pregnancy when she's only just late.
Oh, wait, I think she says she didn't get to tell her mom she's pregnant.
Oh, I thought it was Donald Faison.
I don't think it's Donald Faison. My favorite part is the giant alien steps on the convertible Porsche, crushing it.
Yes.
And somehow Donald Faison falls out of it.
Yeah, well, he shakes it.
Oh, look. Oh, look, I'm okay.
I was really interested in that married couple that was packing up their car and what was going on with the two of them.
Well, they seem to be working out 20 years of a bad marriage right there.
I know, they're like, they're in this L.A. douchebag apartment, but they're packing up their, like, Astro van.
Yeah, like they're going on a camping trip.
But also, here's Eric Balfour, the hero, coming in again. He's like, you need help with that luggage? That's his only good thing, is that he helps people with luggage. Like, whenever he sees people with luggage.
What a great guy.
He really helps with the luggage.
Our hero.
I feel like that was an Eric Balfour thing. I feel like he was like, hey, approach the directors. Hey, I see there's luggage in this scene. Maybe I can do what I did in the first one and offer to help.
Do you guys want to just even examine these aliens again? Are sucking people up by the thousands?
Sure.
You know, by the millions. But yet they're really obsessed with getting like this old man and his dog in this apartment building.
It's Donald Faison was so obsessed with this dog barking. Like in the midst of all this chaos, he's like, "Man, shut that dog up! Shut that dog!"
But guys, what I can't figure out is, I mean, yes, you're right. What the movie posits the idea that the aliens are busy sucking millions of people into their skyginas.
Yes.
But yet are so involved as to then develop like building by building, apartment by apartment searches.
Apartment by apartment? It's
which
crazy.
Is not.
That's not a good
impossible.
Use of your resources, aliens. Yeah, it seems like they dispatch the giant King Kongs and the flying space vaginas to get individual people. Like, right. I don't know, is that the best use of their
right.
time?
I
Maybe
mean, if
they
missed,
doing some paperwork.
If they missed, like, let's say 100 people, would it be so bad right. they've gotten millions? Sure. Like, all right, well, we lost 100. That's okay.
I mean, like, let's agree the aliens are pretty greedy.
Sure.
Just to give you a sense of the dialogue in this movie, can we play some of these, my favorite lines from the film? Here we go.
What? What is it?
They're not dead. They're just really... really pissed off. Into the roof. They'll pick us up.
What if they don't come back? Look what happened to those planes. What good is a helicopter?
Take a chance.
A chance? They just nuked the city. And you want to wave hello?
Seriously, you need to back off.
We have to.
Oh, shit.
You're just going to stand there?
What happens when the rest of the blinds fall?
I mean, we don't exactly have enough bed sheets.
What happens when the rest of... Basically, their main defense is blinds. Like, literally window blinds.
I did like that apartment because it had the blinds on a timer.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when we run out of bed sheets because they put bed sheets over the windows?
What am I saying?
Does anybody else?
Because it's like, why does that ever have to happen? Why would you ever have to run out of bed sheets?
One of my favorite lines that I thought really spoke volumes about probably how this movie was made was a lot of the cool stuff that happens is just the main characters observing it out the window.
Yes.
And then they're all looking out the window at some crazy special effects thing that's happening. And the guy from Dexter who plays the doorman.
Yes. Oh yeah, it's sure. Victor Zayas.
He's looking out the window at a huge alien spaceship exploding, and he just looks at the camera and says, "Something is happening." It's like, yes, you have no attachment to what's going on. It's like, just say something is happening, something and we'll put it in after.
Well, that's like the directors were off camera being like, just look out the window like something is happening, and then say something.
Yeah, and then say, something is happening. I don't know, something is happening. Not that, but something like that. He's like, I'm just going to say that.
Well, that guy, at one point in the movie, decides he's going to commit suicide by turning on all the gas.
Oh, my God.
I love
this
that.
This is
oh my
an
God.
Amazing scene. So he, like, you know, everyone's dying, everyone's getting killed, and he, like, lights up all the gas, and he's about ready to light a cigarette, and now the aliens are doing their apartment by apartment
right, yes.
And they come in, the alien is like wrestling him down, and he's trying to light his lighter.
Oh, and by the way, they also rack focus to a weird painting of a Japanese kamikaze pilot.
That's my favorite moment.
Equating him with, yes, the attackers at Pearl Harbor.
I feel he was trying to help anyone else also. I mean, they set that up as such a, you know, heroic moment.
So
it's
weird.
Like,
he was going to like sacrifice himself to kill one of the minion ships. There's like 12 gigantic ships out there.
And by the way, you don't have to blow those things up. Balfour punched one to death.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Balfour uses an axe and his fist to beat up one of the alien ships.
Effectively.
A ship? He was the only... People are using guns and they're having trouble. He's punching it.
Yeah, Navy SEALs couldn't
do
it.
After you see that bad taste kamikaze shot...
Awful.
He has the best line, which is ripped off directly from Terminator. He goes... Vios con Dios.
Well, I was going to say, also, Point Break.
Oh, right.
Like, you're referencing one of the best bad movies of all time in your shitty bad movie, The Gall. The audacity. Oh,
How dare you, Brothers Strauss? How dare you?
Evoke Point Break.
I just felt that these people were the luckiest people in the world, and I know most people in, like, horror movies, they got lucky, but these people were dumb as shit.
Every time a choice needed to be made, basically it went down like this. The guys would be like, we gotta go do something really stupid and irresponsible. And the girls would be like, let's not do that. Let's stay here. We're safe. And the guys would be like, shut up, dum-dums, we'll do it.
Okay, can we talk about the amazing directing of the scene, the fast motion scene, where you don't know if 3 hours have passed, 3 minutes, or 3 months.
Jesus.
Basically, they do a scene where the camera slow pans across the apartment, and everything's sped up. Like, so you see, like, everyone, like, I'm walking over to the chairs. Oh, I'm sitting in the chair. I'm playing chess. I'm writing on my notepad. I'm sitting down. But you don't know how, like, it could have just been, like, 30 minutes.
Sure.
Or it could have been 3 months. Like, just...
I think it was 30 minutes, because one person just sat in a chair the whole time.
Maybe they were just catatonic from all the stress that's been happening.
Oh, my gosh. And, I mean, I guess we have to get into this fucking ending.
Oh, my... Yeah.
Dude.
Wow.
I got so excited when I thought they were dying.
Yes, me too. Okay, so basically everyone gets killed. Eric Balfour and his pregnant girlfriend, they know they're going to get killed, and they decide to, like, hold hands. They're getting sucked into the vacuum vagina.
Together. One last mid-air kiss.
And they go up, and then that's it. The movie's over, and then you see, like, New York. You see the aliens landing in New York. You see them in London. You see them in Australia. You're like, oh, that's the end of the movie.
Oh.
Cut inside the alien ship. All the bodies are there, and now you get to see the big plan.
Sure.
Which is, the aliens are ripping the heads off of humans, sucking the brains out, putting it into like a brain bin, and then the aliens eat the brains to get powers.
Yeah, and then
it seems like it is like a battery to the aliens' bodies, like it charges.
But how were they functioning before?
Maybe they just go from planet to planet, steal as many brains as possible to get to the next planet.
All right,
So
that lines up.
That makes as much sense as anything else in the movie.
It's pretty obvious, June. Sorry. It's pretty obvious.
They're eating human brains, but then Eric Balfour's brain is red.
Yeah.
Like, all the other brains are blue in the brain bin.
Was that because he was already part alien, because there was a skin thing happening?
I feel like that's what they were trying to posit, okay. Was that he had been, because he had initially been almost sucked up.
Right.
He now, something was, he was like, remember when he goes, remember when you looked into the light and you felt power? I still feel that.
But here's what, a lot of people were almost sucked up.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, had their skin
but he got
scaly and then.
But he got, I guess, numerous times
the
it happened.
Most sucked
up. Yeah, he got it. Oh, maybe when he was physically beating up the alien vagina with his fist.
Sure, yeah.
He was getting some of that goo on him. Because then he go, oh, I forgot all about the time when the alien in the garage sucked in that guy and then they had to, like, pull him out of the vagina.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all,
he's
like,
covered in, like, black tar.
And his wife just left him.
Yeah, his wife's like, oh,
that
go.
Marriage was doomed.
Yeah. it's funny. So in the end, Balfour's brain gets put into this kind of alien gorilla grunt.
Right.
And then they're going for his girlfriend, and the alien grunt that has the Balfour brain starts fucking shit up in the alien spaceship.
Yeah, basically he gets the brain. Eric Balfour's brain takes him over. So now he's like, ah, I'm Eric Balfour the alien.
Sure, the weird gorilla alien. And it's weird. It's like, I thought that was kind of cool. And we see these shots throughout the movie of, like, the military fighting aliens.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I'm like, this world has a cool movie in it, but I'm stuck watching this shitty movie.
Well, it seemed like this ending was the beginning of a cool movie.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, the sequel will be better.
Oh, I was going to say, don't worry, it is.
but they were taking pregnant women and putting them in a special section.
Oh, that's true.
Right, right, because Balfour, the gorilla alien version of Eric Balfour, is protecting his pregnant girlfriend. He's like, get away from her! But he didn't say that. He just is an alien at that point.
This was the part I got really turned on at, was when they had pregnant women all in one place and were kind of probing them and stuff. That was good.
That was pretty sexy.
Big,
pretty good.
Big 4 months gangbang.
This, I mean, there's so much crazy stuff. I mean, there, I just, just thinking about that ending, it's like, it's like, you guys want to see what happens next? But also, it is like, what would be that movie? The gorilla alien Eric Balfour, like him just messing stuff up. I mean, I don't know what that is. I mean, it sounds interesting, but it also is like,
I would probably relate to the slimy gorilla alien more than I did the awful characters in this movie.
Well, at least the gorilla alien did not have a goatee.
Yes, Ed was wearing dog tags everywhere.
And couldn't talk.
Yes.
I'm just remembering when he said, when you played the clip, when he said, they're still alive and now they're really pissed off. All we saw were like blue lights blinking.
Yeah.
Like there was no.
I know.
How would he know they're
How
pissed
would
off?
He know?
Well, also, I mean, they celebrate such a victory when one of the alien ships goes down. There are like I said, 12 or 15 in the sky, like, yeah, we did it! We killed them!
Yeah.
But there is no chance, like, all right, so what, you killed one out of all of them that are literally, there's no victory there. It's like pushing a kid down on a sidewalk. It's like, yeah, we're the strongest in the world!
It's like, maybe the thing is we figured out how to kill it, but the solution was shoot a big missile at it. Did you not?
No, shoot a nuclear warhead into
it.
Oh, like that's the thing that I couldn't figure out. Was anybody else like, they literally are in visual distance of a nuclear explosion and all that happens is they fall to the ground.
Yeah, the windows stay intact.
Okay, well,
the windows are fine. Everything's fine. A nuclear warhead has detonated like 500 yards away from them.
Now, you know, this is a new segment in the show. We obviously did not think this movie was up to snuff, but people on Amazon.com decided that it was. So it's time now for a second opinion.
Oh.
Here are some people on Amazon, and here are their reviews. This film, this is Pegleg, this film was unusual. Non-stop action, yet character-driven. The aliens and their motives were totally alien. It's a terrific film, not very optimistic, just like sci-fi. Can you handle it? That was Pegleg.
Wow, Pegleg. Fucking throwing down the gauntlet.
I wish we could get Pegleg to call in.
Big Mac goes, this movie is just like Independence Day, without the one-liners, without the jokes, and without the president giving people pep talks and flying jets. Don't get me wrong, I loved Independence Day, but I don't want every alien invasion movie to be Independence Day. And then he goes, this movie was shot in a way that makes it look more realistic. I would argue that it looks actually not realistic at all.
Sure, yes. It looks like people in an apartment staring off camera and then some visual effects are inserted later.
Yeah, it really was like beautiful special effects and then what looks to be footage shot in an apartment with an iPhone 4.
Yeah, and that apartment was disgusting. Like wall to wall, gray carpeting. Ugh.
I also like the opening shot was very reminiscent of the HBO feature presentation thing where you're flying through a city. It's like, ooh, what's going to be on HBO tonight? Like when you fly into the big HBO logo.
Yeah. It's just like this movie is just an episode of Entourage interrupted by alien attack.
This is a good one here. Carl Madsen wrote acting A, setting A minus,
setting
effects A plus, creep factor B, tension B plus, what the heck moments 4+.
Four
what the heck moments to him.
I was going to say, why did we shift
to a number system?
You know, it's funny. I would
it
say
was off
that,
the letter charts.
I would say that these, you know, Amazon reviews probably written by people who worked on the movie, but these are,
no.
I know, yeah.
I want to read this one. This one's a little long, but I just think it's too good not to read.
Sure.
W. Freeman goes, so yes, I think people are being very harsh on this film because it's not some creative, overwhelmingly hard to understand film like Inception, which I disliked. Now, one thing I noticed, which is really plausible, is, yeah, imagine that. There's a scene where two of the main characters are stuck on top of a building because they let the door shut behind them. One has a gun. When they go to escape, he tries shooting it off the door handle. The door won't open. Thank God it didn't work the first or second time, because then they try to pry it open, but it doesn't work either. Then someone comes, opens it from the inside. How many movies do you see when someone shoots a door handle and bam, they open it? I mean, at least something is realistic in a film like this.
Wow, he really latched on to that one.
I love that he was so into the door handle. I was like, yes. Finally, some truth in filmmaking.
Yeah, it's not
I love it. Previous to that, he was sitting there really grumpy, like, oh, I'm not buying this. This is stupid. Okay, I'm in.
Door handle, yeah. Yeah,
I've arrived.
Okay, you got me, Skyline. Now never let me go.
It's funny. It's like usually you think, like, oh, it's a cheesy horror movie, but it has themes of family and redemption. It's like, no, it's a cheesy horror movie, and there's a fucking sweet part where they shoot a door and nothing happens.
And I love that he takes you beat by beat through. They shoot it once, and nothing happens. They shoot it again, nothing happens. Then they try to pry it open, nothing happens. Then someone comes in. That's what I liked. That's what you liked about the movie? That was the defining thing. We have a special segment coming up here. Jason, you don't even know about this. This is going to be fun for you. But before we do that, we ask our audience always to submit some viewer mail. So it's now time for viewer mail.
You've got mail, baby. Yeah.
All right. So the tagline of this movie was, don't look up. We had you guys come up with your own taglines. Here's what we came up with, or here's what you came up with. A lot of you came up with, don't look up at the screen. That's a nice one. Another one was, don't look at the reviews. These are now getting out of the don't look ups. Vic Baldry writes, tentacled vaginas take over the world. Skyline, for the most part, it's better than AIDS. That was from Absic.
For the most part.
For the most part. And of course, Eddie Ray writes, Skyline, we wanted to make a video game, but we didn't have the money. So there you go.
Why is it called Skyline?
Don't, because they're in the sky?
Because you're looking at the skyline of the city from the windows primarily.
All right, you guys. All right.
Well, now we have a very special feature today. This is actually something we've never done. We've never had the chance to do this. Now, a couple weeks back, we talked about a movie called All About Steve. Now, in that movie, Jordan has a part in
it. Yes.
So we are going to have a little look back. We can talk to Jordan about All About Steve, all about his experiences on this movie. Now, Jordan, what was it like working on All About Steve?
Well,
you were wonderful on it.
Oh,
Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you. I think in the script I had 5 lines.
Okay.
I think 2 of them made it into the actual movie. There's a protest scene where the main everyone knows the.
Yes.
They've listened to the episode.
Yes.
So Sandra Bullock follows Bradley Cooper to his latest news coverage thing. And it's a protest of people trying to save a three-legged baby. And I am one of the hippies in the audience who wants to save...
Well, they're trying to save one of those legs.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, they want the baby to keep all of its legs.
Oh, my God. I forget how fucking insane this movie was.
And one of my lines in the movie is they're making... Sandra Bullock is helping the protesters make signs. I am sniffing a thing of glue, and I say...
Like all hippies.
Like all hippies, I am addicted to glue sniffing. And I say, this glue is making me high. And Sandra Bullock takes the glue away from me. But yes, and then
so
they...
So you didn't know about the three legs when you were auditioning that
No,
scene.
I did not
wow.
know.
Well,
you get on, then you get the script, or you get on set, and you find out about the three legs.
Yeah, so then they... You know, I get a call, and they say, you've got this. It is my it's my first and still only movie credit. And then they FedExed me the script. So that made me feel cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Watermarked?
Yes, wow. Absolutely. So yeah, definitely one of my first Hollywood big shot moments. And I read it, and I sat up all night reading it. I'm like, this is fucking insane. And like,
you had to read it five times. That's why you were up all night.
Yes, it was so fucking insane. I'm like, I can't even picture how this will be a movie.
Now, did it script change from the movie, from the script that you read? I mean, it's all the insane stuff falling into the well.
Yeah, not a ton. It was pretty. Okay. It was pretty to the screenwriter's vision. And the director was really, really nice. It's his first movie. He came from British TV.
Right.
And he let me improvise a couple of lines.
So good guy. Good guy.
Good guy. But I wanted to actually bring up a moment. Jason, when you guys were doing the podcast about it, you observed at all the kind of random physical humor there is in this that is seemingly unrelated to anything that's going on. There will just be a fall, or there will just be, you know, someone will get hit in the butt with something for no reason. And you're like, did they just come up with random points in the movie to fall? Yes, the day I was there, Sandra Bullock had to cross from the, from the area we were sitting in to, like, a fence to talk to someone. And it's just, you know, she just has to walk from point A to point B. And she calls the director over, and she said, she's like, and they do a little powwow, and she's like, you know, if you put a bunch of stuff here in the way, I could trip and fall a couple of times on the way to the fence. And he just nods, and in 10 minutes, a swarm of PAs comes over with chairs and blankets and just, like, all this weird stuff to put in her way.
On.
And in her cross, her just random cross, she trips and falls, like, 10 times. And so, yes, you were actually dead on about that. I was wondering if you had actually worked on the movie. That
I did it.
I'm sorry, were you in the car trip that takes place after the protest?
No, I was not in the car trip. I'm in...
Well, tell me about the deleted scene that you told me about.
Yeah,
before.
There's I worked on it for a couple of days, and I guess the idea is in the end of the movie, she kind of becomes this big hero because she falls in a mine,
and saves a deaf girl.
And saves a deaf girl.
Oh my God! Again, I totally forget how fucking crazy this movie was.
And so the idea is that all the characters, all the characters she meets come back to. To like cheer her on as she's getting out of this mine.
Sure.
And I guess they deemed the "this glue is making me high" guy enough of a delightful character to come back in the end. So I'm kind of in this end crowd scene, and there's also this there's this bit in the movie where they're showing news coverage of her mine disaster, and they cut around to all the characters she's met.
Yeah.
And Charlene Yee, the very funny LA
hilarious
comedian, also has a line in that scene. So they have a thing where we're married and we live in a mobile home.
Wait a second.
And they just let us, like, pretend to watch her on TV and improvise a bunch of lines.
So it's cutting all around the world that you're excited. Now you're married and you're in a mobile home together. And she brought you guys together.
Yes.
The sniffing glue guy and
Charlene Yee, I think, asks Thomas Hayden Church if she'll come to her flute recital. I think that's her line in the movie. So they have intricate backs. So it's like Lord of the Rings, you know? Like, you have backstories.
It's like an onion. You just keep on.
Was there a premiere for this movie?
There, you know, I was not invited.
Okay.
I actually had to do my job on, I work for a show on Fuel TV where I do, like, press junkets.
Yeah.
And I actually did the press junket to this.
Oh, nice.
And I made, This Glue Is Making Me High t-shirts and gave them to everybody.
Can you find that online?
Yeah, I think that is online. It's hanging out. I'll forward it to you if you get a chance.
Put it up on our page. Well, that was awesome to get a little insight on All About Steve. That was fun. I love that you wanted to trip over the stuff. Well, this has been great. Thank you, Jordan, for doing the show.
Yeah,
you can always hear Jordan on the podcast, Jordan Jesse Go. He'll be on an upcoming episode of Earwolf Challenge. And then you can follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
At @Jordan_Morris.
And I'm not on Twitter.
And as always, we like to plug the fact that you can contact us on earwolf.com. We have a whole bunch of new forums up there, ideas for guests, suggestions, or whatever you want to do. You can find it out or on our Facebook page. Thank you so much. And remember to keep on watching NTSF SDSUV on Adult Swim Thursday nights at 12:15. With there
sorry,
you go.
Ted Turner.
Sorry, Ted. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.